Rafiwe Maloto on Cape Talk.
Good afternoon, Rafiwe Maloto.
Good afternoon, Mr. Matham. How are you?
I am all right. You're looking particularly elegant today.
Thank
are you heading to some sort of cocktail do after this?
I wish. No, I've just come from a couple meetings.
Ah, this is your meeting attire.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet you got the job. Or
thanks.
Got the contract or got the consulting gig. What's interested you in South Africa's rising immigration figures to the UK?
I think there are a lot of headlines that were coming out about that. You know, this the UK immigration service saying South African immigrants over the past 2 years have increased by 22%, and that it's setting to hit record numbers. And so I just dug a little bit deeper and saw this this document that was written by a research company in the States called Pew. Pew Research, they're a think tank that covers these that kind of data, and they did analyze that, you know, since 1990, South Africans who have migrated, and the UNDP defines that as people who live for a year or more outside of the country in which they were born, how about close to 1 million, about 900,000 South Africans. And they are tending to go towards specifically UK, Canada, US, Australia. What interested me about this, of course, was, you know, the concern about the nature of who's moving. The reasons that tend to be cited are political instability, a concern about, you know, our future opportunities and stuff. And that's tended to be what drove the brain drain, the likes of myself and many others who went over to get experience or opportunities and tended to come back, you know, post the great financial crisis. And so one would think, given the fact that opportunities seem to be so good here, what might be the concern? And one of the people who commented on this article was sort of highlighting the tax shifts of last year. And a lot of this data also precedes even hearing about land reform. Couple that with a little bit of Stats SA research on more of the nature of people who are moving, and there's one population group that's steadily declining in South Africa, and
that's
it's
white boys.
That's right. And, you know, without trying to put a fine, I mean, one could have already drawn that from the anecdotal nature of the countries that they're going to. A lot of South African white people do have ancestral access to these countries and tend to settle there. But over and above that, I guess, you know, sorry to make the generalization, but in the main, our middle class, white people tend to take up more of the middle class than other races in the country. And also Indian, Asian, African net immigration is positive to a large extent coming into South Africa. So it's just interesting to see that out of that 900,000, you know, in 5 year shifts that the Stats SA has actually looked over, almost half of that is white people. And that's a lot considering their proportion of the population is only 8%.
But I'm also surprised that 450,000 coloured, black and Indian families have left South Africa over that period.
Sorry, no. I'm talking about half of the 900 that we've seen from the Pew stats. So that 900,000 that they say since 1990 is out there, Stats SA's data goes over a similar period. And our net outflow of white people is about 400,000 over that period. So,
which means that there is a significant outflow of black, coloured and Indian people as well.
The net, our population number overall is still up.
Yeah, but are we counting Zimbabweans and people from the DRC in the inflow?
Yes.
Okay, so if we talk about professionals, if we talk about doctors and dentists and engineers and academics that are leaving, then there is a significant number of black, coloured and Indian people in the professional classes that are leaving as well.
And potentially coming in, yes. So I think it's quite difficult to sort of, I think, go according to the profession, because we have extremely intelligent Zimbabweans and extremely intelligent German people moving in and Angolans moving in who are highly professionalized. My big concern so why does it matter to me has a lot more to do with the tax base and the wealth base. So first of all, as we know, because of lots of things that have been happening, our actual collection and assessment rate of tax payers, has decreased from 95% to 75% in the last few years. So 25% of the tax base is just not recording its taxes. Over and above that, you know, there are 3 million people earning between 70 and 350,000 rand that are taxable and have been assessed. And there are only 600,000 people who are earning over half a million. And they collect three times as much as those 3 million people. So the kinds of reasons that this matters to me is that it's increasingly being cited in these recent articles that, as I say, the tax changes and the financial changes and wealth changes are behind it. If we're saying on the presumption that there's more wealth in a particular group and a particular group happens to be leaving and might actually dominate the top end, it becomes a little bit of a concern if they're leaving in their hundreds of thousands when there are only 640,000 at that
of them
level.
Around. I mean, right. Surely they can't be leaving because of changes in the tax structure in South Africa, because the kind of places that they're going to see wealthy people taxed probably more perniciously than they are in South Africa.
And again, not to start a fight on your show or anything, or I don't know what callers will say after this, but I think that the nature, or at least the demographic group that we're also speaking about, have other reasons that they don't feel that welcome in this country any longer. And that's why I say this is even before we see the land expropriation sort of information. I think you can, besides the likes of, say, Karen Warren or other people like that, who might say, look, there might be a way of doing this in a proper way, in an orderly way, the resounding voice of concern tends to come from the middle-class white person who's probably earning, may have a business. And if personal income tax is 40% of our tax base, and by the way, I'm not trying to suggest I don't pay taxes. The Lesotho people who are moving here that I know are only in financial services. I'm just trying to suggest that I think that proportionally, as a population group, it's important to look out for these kinds of trends.
Yeah. And if we had a decent education system, and then the white lawyers and the white accountants and the white whatevers that are going to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the USA and the UK would be replaced by equally competent and well-trained, less experienced,
sure,
but with potential people from other racial groups. But that ain't happening.
The positive side of that, and it is not all doom and gloom, of course, as I say, our biggest sort of imports are Lesotho, Zimbabwe, Namibia, Mozambique, UK, Germany, and to a much far greater degree than the people leaving South Africa. So if the stat is 900,000 out for South Africa, it's actually 4 million in on the other side. So the hope, of course, is, and many of them are coming from places with better education systems, whether that's necessarily the fact that they've come through.
And then we have a system here which doesn't recognize their skills, or is very slow and very cumbersome in recognizing scarce skills and giving them the solidity and security to start looking sort of.
So there you are with the bright light again, as usual, which is, you know, if we could get a little bit more creative and a little bit more thoughtful about accepting the fact that the world is a global village, that there are people for whom opportunity looks greater here than it does elsewhere, and actually giving the opportunities similar to what Australia may be giving South Africans to other people who want to come here, who are extremely intelligent. All the visa shifts that we've been speaking about over the years, particularly for intelligent Africans, the wealth drain, at least the brain drain, is not really the big issue. Maybe it's just the wealth drain. But if we have the brain drain in a place that provides opportunity for these people to thrive, 100%, we could do a whole lot better.
Are there any indications that, because I can't tell you how often I get emails from frustrated Canadians or Kenyans or whatever, or from the South African spouses or partners of those people saying, I or my partner, spouse, has been trying for 10 years to get a work permit as a professional in a particularly niched field of engineering, for example,
yeah,
and just the difficulty. I mean, I met an Italian couple the other day who work in the field of wastewater reuse,
yes,
and green technology, and they come from firms in Italy that have huge amount of experience.
Yes.
So, and they have been recognized by Home Affairs as having a, they've done all that, and they still can't get any kind of permanent status.
Yeah.
They still have to leave South Africa every 3 months in order to be able to come back here and keep on working. And they've been trying to do this for, I don't know, 3 years they've been trying to get regularized status.
And maybe this is more of the recent change. The most recent change that I understand in that particular area from Home Affairs is actually the loosening of the requirements for people with high skills for 3 to 5 years. The Jamaicans and the Brits that I've spoken to have gotten permanent residency like within a year. And they're not, I mean, one of them owns a salon. It's not the most scarce skill in Africa. You know,
it is something at which Africans are very skilled, but
yeah,
it's
exactly,
not scarce.
Exactly. So, and she's coming in from Britain, and maybe it was also from the investment side of things that they recognized her. But I hear what you're saying. I think there have been frustrations, but I do think that Home Affairs has begun a process of considering a little bit of loosening, particularly for Africans.
Mm.
And that, as I say, comes under the one passport, you know, one Africa drive that's coming via the AU.
Your research, after having gotten interested in this, did it lead you to any professions which are in danger of being problematically denuded by the exodus of wealth and skills.
It did not, but I will happily dig for that.
Because I wonder, I mean, if there are professions where the outflow is not being replaced by the inflow. Yes, the inflow is fine in terms of raw numbers.
Yes.
But in terms of particular skills. Yeah.
Again, people's just reasons for leaving are all a part of many moving parts. I think probably our biggest risk, and not at, and at the moment from a skills perspective, just off the top of my head, would probably be the medical profession. The shifts that are being made in terms of the caps that Aaron Wotsoaledi wants to put on what people can charge. The fact that the UK, due to Brexit, and again, everything that happens in the world affects others in another way. The fact, due to Brexit, is now loosening the acceptability of nurses and the like, and the Kenyans are jumping on that. So I think that might be an initial concern.
Rufil Wemoloto, thank you very, very much indeed. This is important stuff that we talk about on a Wednesday between 20 past 4 and 4:30. The founder and principal advisor at Ambassador and Advisory.